Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so you can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Hannah Rosner. I mostly write for television.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television, too.
And I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features. And this is actually the first time we're getting together to record in 2023. Woo. Everything's a lie. Don't believe anything you hear.
Time is a lie. Time just doesn't exist.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Back. It doesn't feel like a new year, honestly. It feels like 2022 is still going.
Really? Oh my gosh, not for me at all.
I've heard that just because there's still shows that are being canceled. And so, like, I think my manager was saying this, that like, it still feels like 2022 because people haven't started like buying and engaging yet.
For me, it's I worked the holiday.
That'll make it feel like,
yeah. Time really is a construct. Holidays don't exist.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
I ended up taking off the first week of January just because my holiday break was more eventful than I would have hoped. I went back east with my husband. And we were part of that, like we got through, but we were part of that whole like, oh shit, everything's canceled. Everything's delayed. People are screaming in the airport thing to go back east. And we got off the plane and it was, you know, 5 degrees and they couldn't get us our bag, like our checked bag, because everything had frozen over. So we were all just standing around for an hour waiting for them to unthaw whatever they needed to unthaw so they could get us our luggage. It was pretty funny.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That sucks.
And then we came back from the East Coast and then we drove up to Northern California for New Year's with a friend and got there just in time for that like horrific storm. And our friend's roof sprung a bunch of leaks in the middle of the night. And like no one's going to come fix your roof on New Year's Eve. So we like had to go buy a tarp and like got up on the roof and put it down with rocks and stuff like that. And then later that night, one of our friends came down with the flu, like really hard.
Oh, jeez.
So, oh, my God. That sounds like the holiday
from
hell.
It was nice to see everyone. You know, like, I'm glad we got to see family. I'm glad we got to see friends. But, like, it was so I took off the first week of January and I just, like, read and watched TV. And it took, like, one meeting and it was great.
Well, I'm glad that you realized you still needed a break and took it.
Yeah, me too. What about you guys?
Mine was really great. It was like a do-over from last year. Last Christmas and New Year's was horrible because I got COVID and my whole family got COVID and everything was canceled. So this year was like, okay, round two. By some true miracle, no one got sick and there was no travel problems. We went to Chicago for a week for Christmas, and then we went to New Orleans for New Year's because my dad lives in New Orleans. And that was so awesome. And then when Josh left, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay an extra week because I don't have any reason to go back and just do a writing retreat. And I stayed in like my dad's neighbor's cabin. It was like a very good writing attic. And I just
not
was like,
not a murder attic.
Not a murder attic. No, cool attic. Not scary. Jess, were you able to get some downtime despite having to write? Like, were you able to at least get some rest?
I feel like I'm starting to catch up on rest in this past week, but I feel like I need another few weeks before I'm fully operational. Yeah, I think I'm just so burned out from 2022 that it's just carried over here. That's why I'm really excited to talk about New Year's goals, because my goal is going to be get more rest.
I love that.
Good goal.
Yeah, it's just a tough thing, you know, trying to find that fine line between working really hard, burnout, figuring out what jobs to take, what jobs to turn down. And by jobs, I mean opportunities. Most of my opportunities aren't paid, but they're like, would you like to
try to get paid?
Yes, exactly. And we'll do that episode on free work, which is another thing.
We're not talking about like, you know, regular New Year's resolutions in which we all exercise more and eat less sugar and completely lie about what we're going to do. But like in terms of like writing goals, career goals, networking goals, like any other types of stuff that you guys thought of for your New Year's goals?
Yeah, I have some writing goals, you know, because I was talking to some friends about our resolutions and them not really being resolutions, but more being goals and something to aspire towards career-wise and just creatively. I think they go hand in hand. And I was feeling like, okay, I have a lot of goals, but I'm just going to focus on the ones I can control. Like, of course, my goal is to sell this pitch that I plan to take out in a few weeks. And my other goal is to you know, write this podcast series that I've been circling, but hasn't been greenlit yet. So I can't control if and when things get bought or greenlit or anything like that. I can do my best to get them there, but I don't, I'm not the buyer. I do not have the money. So I'm just the person asking for the money. So yeah, I think it's about figuring out a goal that you actually can control. And so mine is to write a new pilot this spring. And then I think my other goal for the whole year is to write a new feature this year.
Yeah, I set a writing goal of 2 features this year, right? And I'm already working on one of them. But I felt like that was realistic for me because I am waiting to hear about my studio movie, because if that goes, then that's going to take a bunch of my time. And if it doesn't go, well, then I have time to work on new stuff. And I'm going out with a pilot. And it's exactly what you said, Hannah. Like, I cannot set a goal of like get my pilot sold, because that's not fair to me, to because that depends on the buyers and whether they're buying anything at all, you know, like while I'm taking it out. But like, I can have the goal of like writing a kick-ass pitch to go with the pilot, you know, and doing everything I can to get it done. And I think my kind of overall goal is to be as efficient as possible before May 1st. Because May 1st is kind of the date in which we may or may not go on strike. And if we, regardless of whether we do it or not, just the idea that we could go on strike could trigger, you know, a small or large buying frenzy. And I want to be as ready for that as I can be. So that's kind of what my New Year's goals are shaped around.
Love that. What about you, Jess?
Similarly to Erica, I mean, obviously we don't know if the strike is coming. And if it is coming, we will all want to be in our like the best, most advantageous position. So I have a couple of projects that I've been working on for a few years now, and I feel sort of the pressure to try and wrap them up before May to see if anything can happen with them. I know we're talking about goal setting as it pertains to writing, and I swear this is a writing goal, but it's also a larger life goal, which is I'm just not going to sweat it.
Oh, I love that goal.
I'm going to write at the pace that I write. I'm going to write the stuff I want. I'm not going to worry about, you know, getting it sent out and at like a timely manner or whatever. I'm just going to let it flow and I'm going to see what happens.
I mean, I think that's huge. I have a similar life goal of just finding a more sustainable pace. Like it's kind of tied to the, what you can control and all that of the goal, the writing goal. But it, like in general, I feel like last year I had such a hard time writing in the second half of the year and just believing in any of my ideas because I was putting so much pressure on myself to like, I need to get staffed. What if I never write it? Like I was operating from a place of fear, you know, where it was just like, what if I never work again? Oh my gosh, I need to write. I need to come up with something really great. And it's like, okay, do the really great artists sit down and think I'm going to paint a masterpiece, or do they think I'm going to paint something that I'm inspired to create? And am I just going to pour my heart and soul into it and let it take as long as it takes? I'm right there with you, Jess, where trying to find some consistency, but not to the point of burnout, because I can't go from 0 to 100 and then back to 0 all the time. Like it just is not, that's not working.
I think that's good. I think it's about finding this balance of like being as productive as you can be, like focusing on what you can control. You can control whether or not you produce material and but also like just combining that with the don't sweat it attitude of admitting that so much of this isn't in our control, you know, and that, you know, like you can worry about it all day long and it won't change anything. So yeah, I've also been starting to network, making a list of a few people that I could email this week, you know, and be like, okay, and now I've done that, and some of them get back to me and some of them don't, but just to like try to just keep everything in motion in a good motion, a non-stressful motion. So when you guys like set these goals of like, I know Hannah, you and I have both said that like we want to write 2 scripts or whatever. Do you guys like map out the steps, you know, when you make these resolutions, you know, like to make sure that they are achievable?
Before this year, that was always my goal, which is I would say I would finish a pilot and a feature every year. And I've been doing that for the last 5 years. And when I set that goal for myself, my feeling was as long as I put in X number of hours per day, as long as I hit these sort of milestones throughout the year, I can do it. The problem is I never really took into account other things that I would have to do during those days, like my full-time job as a TV writer. Because when I write the pilot and the feature, I'm doing that on my own time. And this sort of thing catches up to you, which is why this year it's the don't sweat it year. But before that, I would say creating milestones is actually a really helpful device. If you still have what I call that bite of ambition and desperation. I don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm very lazy now.
Hannah, you have the ambition and not the desperation, Jess. I choose to think of it that way for you.
Oh, that's nice.
You've outgrown your desperation and your ambition is still there. You treat it more fairly. You come from less of a place of fear, as I think Hannah put it.
Oh, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I'll think of it that way. As opposed to just being like lying under a layer of sludge. That's how I feel.
Milestones sounds almost too ambitious for me. I think of it as like breaking them down into little bite-sized actionable goals. It's one thing to be like, I'm going to write a pilot by the end of the month, but it's almost like doing the math. Like, okay, how am I realistically going to make that happen? I also used to do it by pages. I used to be like, I need to get, you know, I'm going to write 5 pages today, or I'm going to write 5 pages of my outline by the end of the week or whatever. That's actually plenty of time to do 5 pages. But the thing is, like, I realized that wasn't really being fair to myself. It's more like 2 hours a day at the minimum. 4 hours for, is a good amount of time to be able to devote to a pilot per day. And that's just during the week. I'm trying not to work on the weekends because I found that if I work on the weekends, by Monday, I'm pretty burnt out. I needed that rest and I didn't get it.
It's diminishing returns.
So I think the breaking it down into like working a certain amount of hours rather than working like trying to hit a page count goal is helpful for me, because one line can take an hour if that one line requires doing a ton of research into, okay, yeah, I'm writing like a sci-fi pilot. There's like a lot of neurological jargon in it, and I need to know what I'm talking about. So spending an hour on that one line, I can get really easily discouraged if I'm like, oh my God, I only wrote 1 page today, but it's like quality over quantity.
Yeah. Or I'll write 5 pages and delete 4.5 of them. You know?
Yeah, like, totally.
But I find page count helpful for me because, I feel like I'm going to put in the hours regardless, but it helps me not get stuck. And you're totally right, Hannah, like things that you do require research. But like, you know, if I set a page count goal for the day, sometimes I'll just set like a 3-page goal, because especially if I'm only working half a day on that script, you know, and then I have to write the bad version. And I find that helpful. But I was going to say that this year so far is already just making me really need flexibility in my goals for myself, right? Because like, I've had like 3 things pop up, right? Like, I've thought that that January was going to be just me working on my new spec script. But like, 3 things came up out of nowhere. And, you know, like we all know the chances of any of those 3 things actually turning into a job is always small. But like, if there are things you like, you need to be willing to set aside what you were planning to do. Like, one of them required me to read a book to see if I was even interested. And another was like, we're doing development on this right now. So if you can get back to us within a week or two, then we can consider you. And I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm working on a take, right? And I don't know about you guys, but when I write takes, I basically write pitches. I don't have like a take version of almost anything.
You have to know so much more information and then be able to pull out the most important parts for a take.
Yes. You have to sound like you don't know, but then you like magically pull the answer out.
Yeah. This is going to get us into the topic of free work, which again is a different episode. And I don't want to rant right now. So let's keep going.
But yeah, the other one just required me to have a Zoom at 8 a.m. And as discussed on this podcast, I am not a morning person, but they were in a different time zone. And that was the only option. Besides, you know, 7 a.m. So I was like, oh, God.
Wow.
But yeah. And so that kind of honestly wrecked my schedule for the day. And I was just like, OK, well, now I'm doing this and I'm going to finish earlier or whatever. But so far, the goal that I didn't realize I should set myself was to embrace flexibility.
Whether it's page count or amount of hours, or it's kind of like whatever works for you and how you like to work, whatever helps you, you know, stay consistent and stay motivated. Everyone's different. So I think that's really cool. I also think it kind of depends on where you're at in your process. Like I'm in the outlining stage. And so I'm trying to stay in the phase of discovery and play and curiosity, because I have a habit of just being so anxious to get to draft that I'm like, okay, just figure it out. And like, you know, I'm like rewriting while I'm writing, and there's like a time and a place for the rewriting. And if I skip ahead to that, I can really miss out on some really interesting, juicy, creative discovery. So I'm trying to like not have a page count goal until next month when I go to draft. And then I will be a lot more strict about how many pages per day I accomplish, just so that I'm doing the work and getting it done.
No, I think that's a good point. I moved too fast to draft on my spec, and I realized it when the midpoint was happening on page 30. I was like, whoops. And so like, I felt very stuck, and you know, I talked it out with my husband, and he's like, you know, and we found something. I was like, oh, so I outlined too fast, and I felt confident in something that wasn't enough. And so now I'm like excited to go back to the outline now that I even have, you know, what will become, will get pushed back into like the first half of the script, but like needing to rework the beginning because I was wrong about what I outlined is like, again, flexibility.
A wonderful thing about what you guys are talking about, it's definitely, I think, something that comes with time and knowing how you write. You know, knowing your own process. You, Hannah, I have to do it by time. I can't do it by page. But I used to do it by page, and I would get so mad at myself when I didn't reach the page count every day. And I want to go back to something you said, Hannah, about being realistic. And being realistic does not mean being unambitious or going easy on yourself. It might mean a longer timeline, but it also means when you actually hit the goals that are realistic, you'll feel good about yourself, as opposed to setting unrealistic goals and then feeling like a failure. Because that is, I think, the biggest obstacle to the creative process. Feeling like you've disappointed yourself, you let yourself down in some way. That is going to harm you more in the long run. And so if all you can do is, you know, put 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in a day, that's enough.
If that's what you have in you, then that's great.
And that's what, and then that's what you should do. And you should feel proud of yourself for that. And even if you think, oh, 15 minutes, is it enough? I'll never get this done. You will get it done. Even if you do 15 minutes a day, you will get it done. It'll take you a little longer, but that's okay.
And you'll probably build off of it too. You know, something you start doing 15 minutes a day, by the next week, you may be like, oh, now I'm doing like half an hour, you know, and like, and then you might have a breakthrough that lets you just work on it.
Which brings me to another point I wanted to make about writing goals and, you know, sticking to them. I think that tracking your progress is really important so that you can look back and be proud of yourself. Because if you, I'm just the queen of zooming in and just looking at like, all right, what do I need to accomplish today? And rather than stepping back and looking at the big picture, like we've been talking about, of mapping out your milestones and when you're going to aim to hit them and what your overall goals is and breaking them down into smaller goals. It's also like, if you do that, if you take the time to sort of plan instead of just dive in, you take the time to plan how long it's all going to take and what you are trying to accomplish and when, then you also have a way of looking back and being like, I'm hoping that by January 31st, I'll have this outline polished, finished, ready to start writing the draft, you know. And if that happens, I'll be able to look back also and be like, hey, I intended to have, you know, be at Act 4 by January 15th, and I did it. So now I get to reward myself with, you know, a massage or ice cream or whatever. So I think that tracking your progress is also an important way to keep you motivated, because you're like, look at what I did. This is awesome. That I proved to myself that I can attain this goal. So now I want to keep going, and you don't feel discouraged.
I like that. I feel like I only tend to like reward myself when I actually like finish a script or like have completed a pitch or the last pitch in a series of pitches. But like, maybe I should look into finding ways to reward myself for like, oh, you know what? I got through Act 2, or, you know, or I wrote this take or whatever, just to like see if that leads to more productivity.
I used to only reward myself after I finished a project as well. And now I reward myself for everything. I do 2 hours a day, I'm like, I deserve something. And I do that all the time now. And I don't know if it makes me more productive, but it does make me happier in general.
What do you reward yourself with, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it could be anything. I'm very food motivated, and I'm especially sugar
I'm
motivated.
Always, yeah, I have to kind of stay away from that, just psychologically speaking. But I'd like to find other things besides food, because food is the easiest.
Food is the easiest. I also like to reward myself by going to the beach sometimes, you know, and taking little trips, going to a museum that I've been thinking about. Sometimes I'll don't know, buy myself a nice article of clothing that I've had my eye on or something, or I'll make plans with a friend, you know, just any little thing that's like, oh, I have something to look forward to and I deserve this.
Sometimes when I'm writing and my dog is like sleeping next to my desk, when I get to the end of like a scene or something, I'm going to reward myself by lying on the floor with my dog.
Oh,
yeah.
That is such a good reward.
That's so good.
And it's a reward for your dog too. Henry's right, like, what did I do thrilled. To deserve this?
No, he doesn't wonder. He knows. He's like, I deserve everything.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. We should all be more like dogs where we don't have my therapist is yelling at me in my head right now. She's like, you don't need to earn things. You can just treat yourself for no reason, but whatever helps you stay motivated and makes you happy.
Yeah, be a Henry.
Just be a Henry.
Yeah,
whatever happens that's good, you know, don't thank anyone. Just accept it as your due.
Yeah.
Erica, to go back to something you said earlier, you said you were sending emails out to network. What do you say in your emails exactly? How long are they? Do you like update them on your life, or are you just like, let's go get coffee sometime?
I try to keep them short. I've been wishing people a happy new year. And if it's people who I have, you know, like a really friendly relationship with, like, yeah, I suggest we grab drinks or coffee and kind of let them pick which route they would like to take. I usually say it would be great to catch up. And yeah, I just really keep it as simple as possible. I haven't even been including what's been going on with me, in part because like I feel like, you know, I had a good year last year, but like I don't have anything necessarily like super new and shiny to report. But like I almost would rather save that for when we catch up.
Honestly, what you're doing is very smart and also very brave, because there's a part of me that never wants to send out those emails because like, what if they don't reply? But it doesn't matter. If they don't
reply,
that's not your, yeah, that's not your problem if they don't reply. At least you did the thing.
Yeah, there's someone who hasn't replied a couple times now, having reached out like once in a year or something like that. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I won't reach out to that person anymore. Like, I don't think that they hate me or anything. At least I hope they don't. But like, you know, clearly they're not interested in maintaining this relationship, and that's okay. You know, like maybe our paths will cross again someday.
I also have a goal, like a non-writing goal for this year, is to try to set 3 to 5 catch-ups per week, which seems like a lot, but most of those people either, they can't, or it's going to be set for 2 weeks from now and then it's going to get pushed 3 times. So it doesn't actually end up being 5 coffees and or drinks per week. And I just don't have the energy for that anymore anyway. But it's like just having that as a goal helps me stay connected to my network and just remind people I exist, since I'm not really on social media. And it does offer opportunities to genuinely connect. And so I've been kind of trying to mix it up lately, where I'll reach out to, you know, writers I worked with on Legacies, just if I haven't talked to them in a while, to see how they're doing and catch up. Or I'll reach out to people I haven't seen since I worked for Zach and just be like, hey, it's a new year, been a long time. Or if I saw something in the trades about what they were up to, I'll congratulate them. And then lastly, what I've been trying to do more, another goal I have for this year is I want to just learn more about the craft, not just of writing, but of filmmaking. I want to like meet, I'm having coffee with a composer that I used to work with on short films. And like, I'm like, I just need to be knowing more about how to make this stuff and not just write this stuff. So, and I just get really bored reading stuff on the internet. So I feel like talking to people in real life, it's a win-win. You meet new people or connect and you learn something.
I was just gonna say that reminds me of a goal that I actually set for myself. And I didn't think of it specifically as a writing goal, but now that I reframe it, it is a writing goal. Because for the last few years, I've been working mainly in writers' rooms, and, you know, it's a very 9-to-5 job. Sometimes it's a 9-to-9 job. And sometimes you work on weekends and sometimes you work on holidays. I found that my world got very narrow, I should say, because I'm only doing this one thing. So my goal is to try to get outside the writer's room and get more different life experiences, because those will help shape the writing. If you are constantly drawing from the same well of experiences, your writing will get stale because you only have a certain, like a set number of experiences to draw from. And you don't want your writing to get stale because you need to, I don't know, continue to generate new things, new ideas, new characters.
I have a goal that's only tangentially writing related, but it kind of goes back to Jess and Hannah, what you guys were saying about taking time to recharge. But I this year want to travel less for obligations, and I am taking a real vacation for literally the first time as long as I can remember, right? Even I went on my honeymoon 3.5 years ago, and we overplanned. It was one of the least relaxing trips I've ever taken, and Rodney got sick in the middle of it. So we have started planning like honeymoon part two, and it is solely a vacation. No one is coming with us. No family involved. I'm not traveling for a wedding. I need to be, I think, a little more selfish because travel takes up so much time and money.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just want to do that every year, if not more than once a year. So that's one of mine.
I love that. I want to wrap this up by springing a fun question on you guys right before we wrap this up. I feel like, you know, they say like it takes 21 days for a habit to stick. I personally have found that it takes 21 days for a habit to not stick. Like after 21 days, that habit that I tried has failed. And so I was wondering, do you guys have any New Year's resolutions that you set on like January 1st that you have failed and are just going to be not sweat it? We're just going to not sweat it. And we're just going to be like, oh, well, we failed.
Yeah. Yeah. I had like a, you know, I'm doing all right. And I think I made some of my goals more achievable by just painting and saying like, I want to find a new kind of exercise that I really enjoy, like to have something else that I could do. Right. And that's like, I can't feel that because I haven't found it yet necessarily because I have left myself a whole year to do it.
There you go. You're being flexible.
Yeah. I did want to like stop snacking after 10 PM. And if you guys want to know how that's going, we went out last night to a birthday party for like people who are complete strangers to me, and it was very stressful. And when Rodney said, do you want to stop and get a bite on our way home, I was like, yeah. And then I had half a thing of french fries at like 11 p.m
You earned it.
Yeah, you did.
yeah but I
didn't, I don't want to have earned it, you know.
Well, there's start again tomorrow.
Yeah
And also, as you said, be flexible, right? Because I feel like these resolutions only work if you allow a bit of flexibility in them. As long as it's like, if your resolution is don't eat past 10 p.m., well, then don't do it every night. But one night, a week even, that's like totally acceptable. So I stopped making New Year's resolutions 3 years ago when I realized I never kept any of them and then felt bad about myself when I didn't keep them. This goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, setting unrealistic goals. I will say that I told myself that I was going to meditate every day starting this year, and then that has not happened. So, you know, these are things that happen. It's okay.
Life happens.
It's okay. But Jess, I really, really, really encourage you to try to do it every morning. It is so great. It has helped me so much. And it'll help you have more like grace with yourself that you're aspiring towards if you don't meditate every single day. But I wish this for you, that you can make
Jess,
it happen.
If you feel bad, just know you're meditating more than I am.
Because that's what meditation's about, competition.
Exactly. Right. Feeling better than your friends.
Yeah. My failure is my New Year's resolution was to be on time. I was like, this year I'm going to be punctual. I'm going to be on time,
Hannah,
for things because I'm always late. Well, I was late to this podcasting session. I was late to my yoga class this morning. I have been late. I'm still failing, but I'm learning. Every time I'm late, I'm like, why was I late? Oh, because I did this thing instead of just getting in the car. So I'm trying to have
I like
grace.
That. And to be fair, we were all late for this session.
But you all had excuses and I didn't. I just wasn't here. You were all
so
here.
So I think maybe
on
you
time.
Just need to come up with better excuses.
That's true.
That's it. I need to continue to be late. And
thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale, and you connect with us there. You can email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. What are some of your resolutions that you've been working on? And let us know in this new year what you'd like to hear us talk about. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.